In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. A major theme that we recognize for the season of Lent is self-examination, and these lessons from today take us deeply into a place of self-examination of trust. Jesus had spent almost 3 years teaching how we can live more fully on earth and what life in heaven is like. Pretty important things for us to just not be absorbed in the day, but seeing that there's a bigger picture and bigger plan for us and for all of humanity. And so now he is on his way to Jerusalem for the last time. And he knows it's his last time. This is after he had spent that time at the Mount of Transfiguration with Moses and Elijah. So he knows what's coming. He knows what's waiting for him. And even then, he flatly rejects the warning from these religious leaders to get out of Jerusalem. Get away from Herod as far as you can. And he would not. He rejected it. He rejected it because he fully trusted in God's purpose for his ministry, and absolutely nothing was going to distract him from accomplishing it. Complete trust. Paul was explaining to the people in the church in Philippi, people he loved and trusted and was so proud of, saying that there were some Christians who were messing around with the message of Christ. Those so-called Christians believe that because Jesus has already paid the price for sin, well, they didn't have to worry about sin anymore. It didn't matter. And so these so-called Christians live their lives with absolutely no regard for living into the image of Christ. They were sin-free, so let's go have fun. And so Paul said, instead of focusing on heavenly things, their God is their belly. Well, Paul was pleading with these dear friends in Philippi to stand firm in their trust in the Lord. And by standing firm, they would be able to claim their citizenship in heaven, because that's where their true citizenship resides. They would experience the transformation of their mortal and weak earthly bodies into bodies that would conform to the glory of Christ. And that transformation, that eternal life, that new creation, all comes from our trust in the Lord. In the Genesis reading, Abram believes with his whole being that God is going to fulfill the promise that God had already given to him, that there would be an heir. In fact, there would be more heirs than he could count, more than the stars in the sky. So Abraham completely committed himself to that trust and belief. He did not need a strategic plan. He did not need a Gantt chart that showed what the timeline was going to be for that whole thing to happen. None of those proofs were needed. He just accepted it. He simply believes and lives his life according to that belief and according to that trust. And God made it so. Abraham and Paul and Jesus all held trust in God's divine plan for the future, even despite the actions of King Herod, even despite the actions of Judah, despite the effects of the sins of other people. There's a message in there, isn't there? God rewards our trust in him, and the reward that was promised to Abraham is a gift of grace. A gift of God's grace. And it's available by trusting in God. It's not a payment system. It's not an arrangement where God is giving payment in return for services rendered. There was nothing required of Abraham or Abram at that point in his life except to trust. It was a one-way contract. All it required was trust. We are invited. You and I are invited into that place of trust that allows God's grace to flow and to grow in our lives too. That's what being a person of faith, a follower of Christ, a believer in God is all about. It's having the trust to allow God's grace to flow. So let's consider some places of calling for trust in our lives. Financially, I put that at the top of the list because it's probably one of the more anxiety-producing ones. We make a budget. We change jobs. Anytime we get a chance, it might give us more income. We make decisions whether both parents will work outside the house in order to sustain that whole machine that needs to get running. Well, we can also choose for God to direct every decision we make with a trust that by inviting God into that process, God's grace will flow. It changes the whole energy balance when we invite God to be in that process. Professionally, we learn to compete harder for promotions. We push to ask for more responsibility so we can prove how important we are. We look for good mentors so that we can learn to do our job even better. And we can also invite God into the process and look for God's grace to flow. And we can trust God to be faithful with blessing. In marriage, we look for a healthier partnership. We look for a balance of interdependence and independence. We spend some nights until 2 o'clock in the morning talk about things we just don't agree on. Well, that's a personal thing. We learn how to compromise and how to find win-win solutions so that there's not a loser in the way we resolve disagreements. But we can also invite God into the conversation. And we can look for God's grace to flow in that process. And so this doesn't just apply to marriages. It applies to any caring relationship with relatives or close friends. Spiritually, we want a deeper sense of connection to God. And so we study and we pray and we keep God in our minds and in play during the day. We learn to trust in the flow of God's grace. And we adjust our decision-making and our habits and our practices of holy habits to get into the deeper waters of the flow of God's grace. We always have the choice that in all of these aspects of our lives and other ones that I probably haven't listed here, to make sure that we are consciously aware of our level in trust, in trusting in God. Because the reward of that trust, we are told in Scripture, is the flow of His grace. If there's no trust in the Lord to direct our lives, it's likely we are not going to see God's grace in any of these things. We get stuck in the way things are. We get stuck with whatever we personally can put into it. At the same time that our faith in Jesus Christ assures us of an eternal life with Him in heaven, we are also challenged to live our lives here and now, right now, in this moment, in the trust that we can find our unique purpose that God has intended for us, and having a lived-into faith. So I ask you that we commit to God and we commit to each other to operate together as a faith community, to provide teaching and strength and support and protection, to help find our faith again if we lose it, and to stay steadfast in our trust in our Lord Jesus Christ, and to help each other stay steadfast in that trust. I ask that we commit to glorify God when the flow of His grace just brings chills to our being of the awareness that He is right here with us. And that together we show the gratitude that He never gives up on us. Never gives up on us. Amen. Amen.